You are now listening to the New Old Heads Podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time at bringdowntheband.com, and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned in to the New Old Heads Podcast. I am Major 7 with the great computer that DJ J Diff hates. Chat is lit. Everybody is in here. We're ready to roll. My man Jay Moore, what's happening?
Man, just another day, another dollar. Well, I wish it was. I mean, it's been another day. I'm not sure about the dollar, but we're hanging in there. Still trying to stay quarantined. Still trying to stay Rona and police free.
Okay. They say you're doing. They say you're
making your 10 miles, OnlyFans page.
Yeah. Look, if I can find a way to get money off of these OnlyFans page, like some of these these sexy ladies, trust me, like I seen a girl buy a whole car in cash off this OnlyFans. So yeah. I'm not going to hate it all on those ladies getting that money.
The hustle is real. Be clear. The hustle is real out there in these streets. My man, DJ J Dip. What's happening, man?
Salutations. What's going on?
To see you as always, brother. You all right?
Yeah, man. You know, just day to day living, family life, work life, daddy life.
Sound real grown right now.
A little bit, you know. I'm paying into a few things if they snatching out of my check.
No, they gonna snatch it. So we already know that.
Yes, sir.
And my rounding out the squad as always, the privileged lighting, man, longevity. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, the lights are working great, the camera's working great, you know, the mic's working great. So doing what I can. Mike, you look frozen. Looks like Michael is frozen right now. He's frozen in space. But
this is a live show. It is what it is. Right, okay, guys, he's back. He's back.
That's that whack internet package Mike paid for. Yeah.
It's always one.
Mike got 1G internet.
1G.
Shout out to everybody.
First generation.
Shout out to everybody that's in the chat. My man Nate Jeezy, Slot A. Is in the building. Did I miss anybody else that announced themselves?
Shouts to the new follow page. But I don't know who else is in there. But shouts to y'all.
Anybody that's rocking with you?
We in here, yo.
Shout out to Dave Chronister, I believe is how you say the name. He is our first subscriber, Twitch Vibes. So we really appreciate you, man. Welcome to the community. We hope you're rocking with us somewhere at some point. We really appreciate your contributions, man. That's dope. You are the first one to jump on the squad, man. So we really appreciate that.
Yep.
All right. So
you should have took some of them funds you got that laptop with, though, to get your speed boost up. You know what we do.
I feel you.
Shouts cool, to the man. Flood. The flood is back.
Flood is back. Okay.
Yo, shout out to the flood. Good brother right there.
Right, all right. The flood, what's happening? All right, so let's go ahead and jump into what we do. Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion have been in the news for their watch. You know? Everybody's seen it by now, I would assume, if you have social media and, you know, monitor your timeline somewhat. But a lot of people are talking about the... know how quote unquote tasteless the video is, and you know, if you guys saw it, like what they're rapping about, plus when you throw the visual on top of it, like it's definitely out there. Now we're old enough to know music like this has existed prior to this, but it seems like everybody is in an uproar about the visuals for this record. Pulled a couple quotes because CeeLo was being interviewed about this. I want to read to you guys what CeeLo said, and then I'll kind of toss it around and see what you think about it. He said, a lot of music today is very unfortunate and disappointing on a personal and moral level. This is what Green told Far Out. There was once a time when we were savvy enough to code certain things. We could express to those it was meant for with the style of language we use. Now music is shameless. Sheer savagery. And he would later go on to say, tension is also a drug and competition is around. Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion, they are all more or less doing similar salacious gesturing to kind of get into position. I get it. independent woman and being in control, the divine femininity and sexual expression. I get all of that, but at what cost? So CeeLo wasn't holding back at all. And, you know, CeeLo's older than we are. So I know he know about some of the music that was coming out that you could quote unquote.
CeeLo ain't selling no records right now either.
I mean, his album's pretty dope to me, the one he just dropped, but I ain't gonna talk. That's for neither here nor there. But I'll toss it around the room and see what you guys think about that. Are people our age and older being hypocrites when it comes to this? If I come to you first, you having a daughter and have some conversations down the road, how do you feel about that? Are people being hypocrites?
Most definitely they're being hypocrites. I mean, everybody knows that. It's just something to talk about, and everybody's jumping on the bandwagon to have an opinion, because everybody has an opinion nowadays. Today's day and age on Beyonce's wet internet. So everybody need to chill and relax, because it ain't nothing new under the sun. I mean, we had groups called Bitches with Attitudes coming up.
Sure did.
Adina Howard was very popular.
Mm.
Kaya had a song called My Neck, My Back that was on the radio. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And what surprises me a lot is a lot of men are upset at this song. And I mean, we've had a lot of suggestive songs in our day and time. You know, I mean, there's too many to even name. But it's almost like cats out here are scared of wet ass pussy. Or they've never had it.
Is that what it is?
They either scared or they never had it. I don't know. But I mean, you got to censor your own home. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Who cares at the end of the day? It is what it is. People have been coming up with these types of tunes since the early 1900s. Even jazz songs back then had suggestive lyrics. Mm-hmm. So here we are in 2020, and everybody wants to get behind something. So I guess this is the new thing to get behind. So that's where I'm at with it.
I can dig it. Long talk. Church.
What do you want me to talk on?
What's your take on it, man? Like, do you see it from any different angle from what Terry said, or are you pretty much just in agreement overall with the hypocrisy?
I don't know. Like, I look at it two different ways, right? One, it's art and culture, it's media. And it's nothing new. I think because of this might be the biggest song like ever of this. You know, like I was at Decademics yesterday talking to Jay, and we looked up the numbers. It already had like 63 million views of the video in like 4 days.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, so nine times out of 10, whoever watched it more than one time. It is
potentially.
It's pretty nice.
I went through that a couple times.
I mean,
man.
I guess from an artistic standpoint, no, I don't think it's a good song. I don't think it's a good song. But at the same time, I don't feel like the song was like made for me. So I can watch the video, listen to the song, and like keep it moving. I don't think it's like crazy. I mean, the content in the video was pretty crazy, I guess, realistically, as far as just being blunt and in the lyrics and everything they were saying and everything they were showing. But it wasn't like shocking to me. It wasn't like overly shocking, though. And, you know, I've definitely heard similar things from men artists throughout the years that are popular as well. And, you know, so I think the biggest thing for me, most interesting talking point is how people are like upset at it, you know, like, and they're mad at that they would make such a song and had the audacity to make such a video. That's the part that's kind of weird to me.
Right.
But you know, I'll pass that on to Jay Moore. I'll let Jay speak on it, cause I know he's got some opinions on that. So I pass my time.
You know, one of the things that's kind of crazy to me is as soon as I saw like the kind of promotion for it, where it was a picture of Megan and Cardi, and it said new song coming out on Friday, I tweeted, but without hearing the song or seeing the video, that there are going to be think pieces about this by so-called woke dudes whose real issue is seeing black women enjoy themselves. You know, do I think it's some crazy empowerment theme for women? No. But you know what? Everything is not about politics and empowerment. Sometimes people just want to have some fun, and adult fun at that. Like, because everybody wants to bring, well, what about my kids? What about your kids? You know what I'm saying? Like,
sometimes,
like, and this is really, I'm always bothered by that, you know, because people are always like, well, you know, some people don't have parents. Well, the problem is, there's been socioeconomic reasons to why there aren't parents in the home. That's the problem. Not right. That Megan Cardi made a song for the club where you got to be 21 to get in. Well, if the clubs were open. And the thing is, you got to, you know, what comes into your house, like, you have to have a certain level of responsibility for what comes in. I remember when I was when Doggy Style came out, I was 16. I was able to drive around to the record store and get a copy of Doggy Style without having to have, you know, and bring it in the house without my parents seeing. And I remember, like, I was making a dub of the CD because that's what we used to do, put it on tape, because, you know, unless you was really balling, you didn't have a CD player in your car in 1993, 94. And I remember I left it by the main console, and my dad, like, put a little post-it note. He's a very professional individual. And said, we need to have a talk about this. Now, we never really had a talk because it's like, look, it was too late. Right. I just think it's partially about there's been a whole thing running up to, it's a crazy thing to tie this all together to Kamala Harris being the vice presidential nominee, to where there's been this very anti-woman, specifically anti-black women sentiment going through the media this year, to where Beyonce's been called racist because of the Black is King. They've come down extra hard on WNBA players because of their protests. And their protests started before Colin Kaepernick was kneeling. So this isn't new to them. And now you have this almost hip-hop moral majority movement because Cardi and Megan have put out this song, which honestly, if you know hip-hop, this isn't even in the top 20 of most explicit records. Not even in the last 10 years. Now, if you want to go all the way through the history of hip hop, it's not even close.
It ain't.
Responded
it's,
like it's somebody on Fader.
It's
up there.
Hold that thought, because you made a good point about the records. Let's name off some of those records that we would say. You said it pretty easy. Like, you felt comfortable. Like, it ain't even close. It ain't even close. I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, we know some that are bad, but I'm just saying, this one is, if it ain't close, it's in the neighborhood. So give me.
Yeah,
give
but you know what? Have you ever listened? Have you listened recently to gone back and listened to As Nasty As They Want to Be, which predates CeeLo and anything that he's talking about? Talking about, oh, we knew how to be more subtle.
Yeah, yeah.
Luke had a song literally called Pop That Pussy. True. So let's not act like there's been this subtle way to talk about sex in hip hop. That's 30 years ago.
Think about Put It In Your Mouth. Like, how many times you been in the club and heard people singing
95,
that?
You know, NWA, like, this is what I got into it. Well, I didn't want to say get into it, but like, when somebody on Fader who I knew didn't know the culture and Young Hell said, is WAP the nastiest song to ever be put out in hip hop or most explicit song? I said, on NWA's second album, they had a song called To Kill a Hooker, to where not only did they talk about having sex with the women, but they killed them. And then the next song after that was called Find Them, Fuck Them, and Flee. MC Ren was talking about having sex with an underage girl.
Sweet Black Pussy by DJ Quick. Sweet Black Pussy.
Yep.
So at least there's a level of fun to the Cardi record. Some of the records that we grew up on, like I said, I'm 43, where you go back and listen to, and it's literally, there's a hateful vibe towards women, hateful and violent vibe towards women.
I want to play devil's advocate. Go ahead, Lone, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, to Jay's point, I think the difference right here is that the women are controlling the narrative right now. They're controlling their own narrative.
Exactly.
And you know, that's an important piece to all this. You know, it's not, yeah, but go ahead.
My question is, again, just playing devil's advocate, with the records that we are comparing them to, the records that we're talking about, I think a lot of the songs that we can name, in my opinion, are B-sides. These are not singles. Like, this is a single, no, the main, this is one of the main.
Ain't No Fun is a club classic.
Is that one, was that a lead single off that album, though?
It doesn't have to be a lead single.
See, that's why I disagree.
It gets played, this is the thing, though. It gets played more than the other tracks that was on that album.
Yeah, but at the time, though.
So what I'm
talking about is garnering more income. No, still, to this day.
Well, what I'm saying is the push as a single, this record was pushed as a single to prep for a project to come out. This is not a B-side. This ain't a song that grew and grew legs or none of that. It's actually released as a single. So that's why I'm saying devil's advocate, because to me, that puts it in a different light. When you're saying, yo, this is a single, it's got 64 million some views. I think Lone was telling me when he found it, like, don't you think that's going to hit a little different from the B-sides that we talking about 30 years ago?
I do, personally.
I think it's going to hit the same.
I think it's the intentionality behind it. Back then, I mean, don't get me wrong, there were definitely songs that were, I'm guessing, were released as singles that were kind of like this. I mean, we can think of some, a handful of them, but there are.
I said a few.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some.
My Neck, My Back was on the radio.
That's definitely one.
That was a single.
True.
That's her biggest song.
Freak Like Me was on the radio.
Baddest Bitch was on the radio.
What I'll also say, though, is that, like, even like how they're writing, like, and how there's no subtleties at all in Cardi's verses at all. There's like no subtleties. It's like straight to the point. There's no like any type of weird type nuance. It's like, nah, this is exactly what I'm talking about. And I think that may be a subtle difference, maybe not more so in the style of music. I think that's kind of changed throughout the years too. And I wouldn't put that on this song particularly, because I think that's just, and again, there was obviously blatant stuff back then as well, but
no doubt about it.
This entire song all the way front to back is just like whap in your face.
Is Tip Drill considered a single?
Yes, it is.
No.
Yeah. Tip Drill is definitely.
Tip Drill was a single off of Nelly's remix album.
I think Uncut when I think Tip Drill. I don't.
I do too.
It had a video. It was a single. It still had a video on the radio.
And you know what? I've heard people play Tip Drill at weddings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
So WAP would be considered the same thing as a BET Uncut song, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But the BET cut songs
weren't these singles, though. You know what I mean? Like,
what that thing smelled like was not getting pushed like pushed like
that. That's what I'm saying.
So, but it wasn't on a major label.
It wasn't on Beyonce's internet either. It was on BET Uncut.
Yeah.
This is where a big difference comes into play. Now, really, because like I said, this is at a time I don't get any of the channels that just run rap videos back to back to back. Now, if you want to watch hip hop, turn on the internet. You don't turn on the TV.
Right.
So the same restrictions that were there, there's stuff that like you see where people, you know, other rappers, they pointing guns at the screen and this, that, and the third. That would never play because it wouldn't pass standards and practices. There's no more standards and practices,
right?
As far as hip hop videos are concerned, because it's direct
to consumer.
You don't have to worry about going through the censors at BET and MTV. And what's crazy, what a lot of people don't realize, the censors at BET were way more strict than the censors at MTV. Like, people don't remember that, but like there were usually two different cuts of videos that would be, and this is when they were still not. This is when they weren't under the same umbrella. At Viacom. But I think what bothers a lot of men, particularly, like I said, there's this weird moral majority happening movement in hip hop after this video came out, is because we're used to having songs where, and like, you know, we've already been pretty raw with it, where we hear songs about men fucking women.
Yep.
This is a song about a woman asserting her dominance and her sexual wanting to make sure she's satisfied and fucking a man and being unapologetic about it. And I don't, and there's always going to be a level of pushback against that, because there are men, no matter how liberal they consider themselves to be on the other side, when it's women asserting themselves in this way, they're always going to be uncomfortable. That's it. Goes
nine
back
times
to
out
Kim.
Of ten, these
it goes, cats, it goes back
nine
to
times
Jackson.
Out of ten, though, these are cats that don't have game and could never get a woman like that. So they used
that's
to
fair.
Do this.
Let
them
work. If a woman's never got it, that wop for you, then you probably are upset about this.
Hey, Nicole is in the chat. Shout out to Retro P. I asked her what she thought about WAP.
Mike's fading in and out. In and out. This is that 1G internet, man. This 1G internet's pretty garbage.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You know, hey.
And she says, I love.
Whoa.
But she says she likes it. So you have.
Yep. All right. Well, that's nice.
What? All right, man. Once again, I was kind of upset that I wasn't at the club this weekend and see how many times it me and DJ Lockstar could play it back to back and see what the reaction would be. Like,
yeah,
you got to understand,
the song that they sampled, there's some hoes in this house.
Right.
Yeah. It's a club staple.
Bruh.
It's, it's a house staple.
Hey, impressive.
And you know who gets money from that? Do y'all know who Frank Ski is?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Frank Ski. Like, he was one of the writers. Basically, he wrote "There's Some Hoes in This House." You know.
Oh, he gets a good old
check.
He's
listed as one of the writers on this song. So he's probably getting a nice check. Because they sampled, you know, something that he wrote just 35 years ago.
That's some DMV stuff,
shit,
right?
What about DJ Jimmy? Yeah, and then the response, the women's response, ladies' response, whatnot.
I mean, because that's all off that Frank Ski, like, where that's all from that original
record.
She said,
"Suck my pussy for a pork chop." In response to.
This,
in response to hey, what
somebody
my guy say.
Hey, somebody's getting some points off that.
What do you say about the starter?
First of all, y'all.
I'll ride that dick a little harder, and a nigga might buy you a starter.
We're definitely not monetizing this
first
video.
Of all, nah, this man will get monetized. Hey, y'all whack for downplaying my comment from Nicole, man. She's the only woman in the chat, Goofy. That's valuable. That's profound right there. Y'all some haters.
No, yeah, that's you in that 1G-ass internet. I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah.
Nobody right, knew man, what you was talking about.
Let's get to the next topic, man. But this ain't going nowhere for sure.
I want to talk more. No, I'm saying.
It ain't going nowhere. It's going to come back up. Somebody else going to say some other shit. And, you know, I got a feeling it'll pop back up.
I just don't see
it. Oh, yeah, it's going to pop back up.
I was just using those as put quotations around those words and phrases that I use. That's for educational purposes.
I got you. All right.
Yeah, I love pork chops. I love pussy and pork chops. Sometimes together.
I need the audio for that, by the way. Let's talk about Illinois, man. Illinois, as they say. So Kanye won't be appearing on the presidential ballot for his home state after election officials in Illinois found that 1,900 of the 3,128 signatures Wes submitted were invalid. That leaves the rapper short of the 2,500 needed to be included on the state's presidential ballot. So this is one of the things that I was concerned about, was a whole bunch of people being on some cult shit, voting for him for no reason, with no education, no thinking about anything that he's saying just because he's a superstar. So I think this is actually good. The flip side to this also is I saw Nick Cannon say that he would vote for Kanye because we need someone black in the White House. That was literally the justification for it.
Nick Cannon's always got some weird shit to say, man.
Talk to me.
Needs to sit a few plays out.
since
we talked about it. We talked about him multiple times, you know, but it's just, yeah, this is weird. There was something else too. The Wisconsin. I mean, I think it's a good thing. I do think it's a good thing that Kanye's not on the ballot. I'll just say that. he doesn't belong there, at least right now. Like, especially when he didn't deny the fact that he was entering to like cause an interference between Biden and Trump, you know? So to me, that's, it's not tampering and it's not necessarily, but it's like toting that line, I guess, a little bit. I don't know.
You know, that concept was deemed ridiculous a month or so ago, about a month and a half ago, when people were saying, man, he's just in there to try to divide things. Oh, y'all conspiracy theorists. Why is it every time it's a conspiracy? Kanye says something's a conspiracy theorist and I'll be damned. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is funny how stuff comes back around.
Who thought that was a conspiracy?
People, man. People are out here.
My timeline.
Yeah. Hey, out of all the conspiracies that have arisen in 2020.
Yeah, there's a lot of them too.
That was closely aligned to being factual more than anything.
I didn't actually think.
Ain't that about a bitch?
I didn't actually think it was going to get that far. I'll be honest, but it was a lot of people that was shitting on that concept, and it's funny how it came to fruition. But jump in, J-Div. What you think about Nick Cannon literally saying, I just want to vote for him because we need someone black in the White House? How irresponsible is that shit? Because I think that shit is irresponsible.
I mean, that's dumb as shit, man. And we all know that. Like Gay said, he needs to take some time out and probably ride the bench for the rest of the year because he just keeps saying dumb shit. And getting himself in a position to where he has to explain why he would even utter some dumb like that. But I mean, Biden has Kamala Harris on his ticket now, so there's your black in if that's what you're voting for.
Yeah.
There's a lot of black people mad about that too. But that's gonna be very interesting to see how that goes. Jay Moore, what's your thoughts, man, on Ye? Is that a good thing? And also, what you think about Nick Cannon, bro? Because, you know, Nick Cannon standing those.
As much as I have had issues with Kanye West, I hope this publicity stunt of him trying to run for president, even though he didn't do the work to get on the ballots in all 50 states, so there's no chance of him winning, doesn't wind him up in some real actual legal trouble. Because, you know, if you're, you know, there are some electioneering laws that he may have broken. And that's if he did this as a publicity stunt and he winds up possibly having to, you know, go to court or do a little jail time, I think that's very sad.
I didn't think about that.
As far as Nick Cannon is concerned, I think this is the thing with Nick Cannon. He's been so mainstream his whole life. I think he wants a level of street cred that he has gone about getting in all the wrong ways. Like, you know, when I don't know if any of you, yeah, I don't know if you guys even watched the it's because it's been taken off the internet, the sit down he did with Professor Griff. The thing is, I don't know what you thought you were going to achieve from that. Look, if you got kicked out of Public Enemy, like, chances are that there's going to be some shit that, you know, that honestly you there nothing good can come from that, especially when you're super mainstream. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's worked very hard to have TV shows on different networks and be able to get looks that a lot of people aren't able to get. Even after telling NBC to kiss his ass, he's still able to get a gig over at Fox and have all this juice at Viacom. And I just think he wants to be down so bad and want to be seen as woke and real. And so he shows up with the turban and the Colin Kaepernick jersey. And it's like, dude, we get it. Like, you don't have to put
documentary.
You don't have to put on for us. And so, like, when he says, but the thing is, this is what I see him doing. And this is what happens a lot of times. Look, people are like, protect all black women. And, you know, I'm down for the cause and I want to see somebody black in the White House. But now that Kamala Harris is the nominee, it's going to be Kamala as a cop and she's married to a white man. And like, she put all these black people in jail. Like, there's a lot of people who are very vocal, who get all their political information from memes. And
I agree with that 100%. I agree with that.
And so, like, Nick Cannon is kind of one of those people
information period from memes.
Yeah. Like, nobody wants to do any actual reading. And the thing is, there's no pushback on people with that meme knowledge, because people would just like their tweets and be like, yeah, that's right, Kamala's a cop. And it's like, we have to also get out of this mindset that every black man in jail is Nelson Mandela. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, I had a cousin that went to jail for selling drugs. Now, are there socioeconomic reasons? And was there a broken criminal justice system that sends him to too much time for his first offense? Yes. But he was selling crack. So
that's the realest thing. That's real as it get.
You know,
well, why was he selling crack?
You have to get out of this mindset that everybody who's in jail is on some righteous shit. There are some people who have been wrongly incarcerated, you know, on some political shit. But there are some people who just been hitting wives and grandmothers in the head, you know, stealing Social Security checks. And those people need to be in jail. And like, we can't act like everybody who's done something wrong is somehow righteous. And that if somebody's a prosecutor and they get those people out of our community and keep us, you know, then that they're somehow against the cause.
It's going to be very interesting. Like I said, very interesting.
There's going to be a lot of it between now and November. It's going to be a lot of that. So just hold on.
Well, I think it's something that we'll definitely. Well,
it's already been a lot of it. I mean, there was a lot of that when she was running for the Democrat nominee. I don't like Kamala Harris. I'm perfectly. I've said that before. I know you do, Jay. Right. We talked about this. But
I have my issues with her.
But
I'm not going to go like I'll give you specific political points about why I don't like Kamala Harris. Like one of my points is not going to be that she's married to a white man.
Right. Exactly. And that's why, at the end of the day,
if we don't mess with her or not. And I hate to say that whole picking the lesser evil of the two. I mean, Trump's did a terrible job at this position that he has. And something needs to be done about it. Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Yeah, for sure.
Look, when you have
that's what I was going
to
get to.
When you have a criminal in the White House, I think we need a prosecutor to be one of the people on the ticket.
Jump in, Lone. I'm
I mean, at this point, it's a wash for me. I don't like Biden. I don't really like Kamala. But I feel like they fit. I feel like they're a good match, you know, and I feel like they're better than what the alternative is. I don't hate Kamala. I just don't like her. And you know, there's differences there and political ideologies. I don't think she's left enough, in my opinion. But I don't hate her, and I don't think that she. And to Jay's point, I don't think that she is a bad choice for Biden, and I think, she probably is a good choice, to be honest. But I personally would have liked somebody more progressive, but it just is what it is.
Well, that's very
well. I think one of the things
very objective
that we have to very objective where we get a little caught up, and I've said this before, and this is why I think like Donald Trump won, is because. Like the evangelical Christians, they look past him, you know, paying porn stars with checks so they could get their agenda advanced. Like, I don't get into personalities. I get into platforms. And when I look at the platform, like of 2016, there was one party that said, hey, the police are doing just fine. And there's one party that said that we need to really rein in these police and get these consent decrees in order and start to defund the police. And you know what? That party lost because we were caught up in the fact that we didn't like Hillary Clinton. We need to get away from
it's
personalities
not the time.
And start
it's not
looking
the time right
into
now.
Platforms.
No, for sure. Yeah, right now is not the time to be upset at Kamala Harris. Like, you had your chance. Nah. Yeah. A while ago.
The culture is unfortunately too into cancel culture.
Oh, 100%.
So anything that people don't agree with, they're ready to cancel you immediately and figure out the consequences later versus weighing the options in front of you right now.
I think another thing
right now it's a hot topic too now. So everybody wants to have an opinion. And that's one of the things that social media has done for everybody, is given everybody a voice that shouldn't necessarily have a voice.
Because these
are people that wouldn't raise their hand in class.
Ooh,
they'd
right.
be on a computer and type some bullshit out or cosign a bullshit angle. But on another level, they wouldn't have nothing to say. So that's one of the things about social media.
I was going to say, and it is great that, you know, that Biden did, you know, he selected a woman and he selected a black woman. And that's kind of a cool thing at the same time. That's never been done before. And beyond that, what I do like about Kamala is the fact that she actually will listen. And, you know, like the current administration that we have, it's pretty much just whatever Trump says or nothing, you know. And, you know, I watched Kamala, and because I was a huge Andrew Yang fan, I watched her and Andrew talk back and forth and discuss different ideas when he was running, and her kind of adopt some of those different ideals. Yeah. I don't know, like, I don't hate it. You know, it's just like, it just comes down to the fact that I kind of wish it was different. But if we're going to get to that, I mean, I always wish it was different. So who cares? But
yeah.
Well, I think it'll be something that we'll love.
I wanted my guy. I was a part of the Yang Gang with Lone. If I could have things I wanted, Andrew Yang would be because right now universal basic income seems like a really great idea, doesn't it?
Definitely. Yeah.
My cousin put me up. My cousin Yang James put me on Yang way back.
Yang with what's my old girl from Georgia?
Yeah, that's Stacey who Abrams. I was. Stacey I was actually kind of. I was actually kind of hoping that Biden tapped her, to be honest, but I mean, it is what it is.
She's too black.
Well, I mean, one thing we know for sure is this one here is just getting started. You know what I'm saying? Like, this joint is, I'm still seeing it now, and it's just the first day of the announcement. So, I don't know, man. I wonder what the hip hop community, the OGs in hip hop that are on to, you know, that try to make a political stance or have a opinion or try to, you know, pro-voting, things of that nature. You got people like Diddy, you know, that come out and say certain things. I wonder what they're going to say and if they will build a groundswell behind her as well about
did you see where it was Diddy and a whole bunch of people came out and said that they made a statement towards Biden that he needed to select a black woman candidate? Did you see that?
I missed that. No, I didn't see that.
I don't know if
I saw that.
And it was a whole bunch of celebrities. So, and then this happened like a day later. So, I mean,
That was the angle Biden was addressing when he said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. I'm just being a devil's advocate here. That was
We all know that's false. We all know that he did not mean that. But
Look, well, I didn't know that.
Joe Biden owes his political life to black people. He had never won a primary until he won South Carolina, and he was carried into that South Carolina primary by black people. Now, so I'm not trying to be funny, but like the Democratic Party and the platform, they owe black people because honestly, we've been holding them down without getting our tangibles for a long time. So
it's about to be a shift in this whole thing. It's about to be a whole nother party that's going to emerge on some other stuff.
I want to.
Have other parties, but they're not necessarily gaining ground with the youth or whatnot. But people are fed up with what Democrats are doing, and they've been fed up with what Republicans are doing. So something's about to happen.
Yep.
All I know is the ticket of Biden and Harris is one that we can hold accountable. And if they don't do what we're supposed to do, we need to go ahead and have it in our minds to primary them out in 4 years if we don't get our tangibles. And I'm really talking about black people because that's where my concern is. And because I know we're not going to get our tangibles from Donald Trump.
Right.
Well, let's end it right there. And I want to take some time out to shout out our sponsors real quick before we get into our last topic.
All right.
We'd like to thank our partners for the new Old Heads podcast. No Bad Ideas Clothing Company, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, Sun King Brewery, and the hub for all things New Old Heads, bringingdowntheband.com. Remember, once you type Bringing Down the Band in the search bar on YouTube and the page populates, subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And as always, we thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
Yeah, back at it.
Okay. All right, so this last one, before we get out of here, I know Jay Moore got to pay that child support.
Don't start those kind of rumors.
There he is.
See, Terry's shaking his head, being a hater. So Tech N9ne had a show.
I just hate the fact that I said it, and I have to apologize every episode.
You did it.
Because you keep on late. Running into the ground.
It's too late now.
You never know when to let something die.
Well, you shouldn't have said it.
The whole laptop thing around episode.
You're feeding me now. I'm just going to continue to run it now because you shouldn't have never said it. Mm-hmm. So you just feed me now. Anyway.
Feed me.
So Tech N9ne apparently had a show that had over 1,000 people in it in Missouri. And there's actually, I think I saw it. I think I sent the the link was on TMZ. It was upwards of 1,000 people in the show. Nobody social distancing, everybody kicking it and rocking. Rocking with the show like it was normal.
At Lake Ozark. The show was Saturday.
Lake Ozarks, yep, at the Regalia Hotel. And Lone, do you have that joint I sent you where it has the picture of the concert?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not going to pull it up. I'm not going to pull that because we'll get docked for it if we play the video. So
there's a video. You can see the concert. I clicked on it, and it looks just like it was, which is crazy. It's weird that we're saying this, but it looks normal like it used to, quote unquote. There's people everywhere. Everybody's having a good time. It's lit. The concert is dope. Like, the vibe is there.
I'll pull it up and turn the sound down so you can keep talking.
Yeah, like it was crazy to me to actually see it when I clicked on it, because you know we've had the conversation about people not paying attention or not abiding by their state's rules, or you know just pretty much doing what they want to do. And then you get a situation like this. If you can see the stream, like it was people really out there just kicking it. Like that looks normal. That looks like a regular concert. I don't see a mask. It was the back of people's heads, so who knows? But I'm gonna take a guess and say these people don't have masks. They are really close to one another, if you guys can see that. So it's two steps forward, two steps back at this point with everything that's going on. Like, I don't know about y'all, but this is very disappointing to me. The fact that people are just like, fuck it. Like, it just, I don't know, man. People, on one hand, you'll have people say, get your money. You know, you got to get your money. The economy can't be stifled by all this stuff that's going on. But I just don't like the visuals, man. In my personal opinion, I don't like the visuals. J Diff, what you think when you see this video, man?
I just see a bunch of people who obviously don't care about their health and well-being.
A side view, you can see no masks. Mm.
There we go.
Okay. It's like Nicole. It's like Nicole.
1,000 people here.
Mm. Yeah, upwards of 1,000. Yep.
So what? In the venue, let this go on.
We're in the Ozarks, man.
Obviously.
Extra white. Extra white out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shit.
Look, they crap.
I don't know. If they want to catch their age, that's on them.
Yeah.
This shit is disappointing to me, man. Like this will set, yeah. You know how crazy that was, how far that would set an area back? Like, seeing some shit like that?
It's unfortunate.
Well, I mean, shit. What is their stipulation right now? Because I know we're in a situation where they've extended the clubs being closed here.
Yeah.
They don't really have a set date for that to open, right?
Mm. They say the 27th, but I'll be honest, when I look at the numbers every day, look, it took us almost four and a half months to be able to be open for 3.5 weeks.
Right.
Us being closed for barely a month is not going to fix what we've been going through. I put on my Instagram to all my DJ family, look, everybody needs to be updating their resumes because we're not going back to work anytime soon. If we get back in the club by Halloween, I'll be surprised. Like when I see that they've canceled the Big Ten football season. And yeah, all these other things, you think if they're going to close all that down and they're not going to get all that money, they're certainly not going to open up so we could get this club money.
Nah, definitely.
So not. I'm just saying right now, if you like going to the clubs, not where we are, but what's crazy is clubs outside of Marion County, because of course we're broadcasting from Indiana and that's basically where, you know, the main central Indianapolis is. If you're in Avon or Greenwood or whatever that's outside of 465, there are clubs that are still open and packed.
Wow. See, that baffles me.
That's what I'm not understanding about that, because, I mean, you can literally cross the street and be in a different county and you can go out and have fun or go to clubs or whatnot. But, I mean, there's loopholes in this shit, too. Like, you have lots of... you have hookah bars where people are going to hang out that are packed. People are smoking hookah, blowing shit in the air. and it's still open. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not understanding the rhyme and reason behind this, but I think everybody needs to get on the same accord so we can get back to normal, because we got other countries that if you see the daily ticker as far as how many people are catching it daily and how many people are dying daily, we are in first place as being the worst.
Yep.
That's not the type of first place I want to be in. So, and it's partly because people are so into this, I make my own decisions. We're in America. I'm free. I can do whatever the fuck I want to do. And people just don't want to bug down for a minute. So I don't know, man. It's crazy.
Like, it, to me, you know, when everything initially started, I think it's fair to say that I'm not going to say, I can't speak for everybody, but you would think there was a, you know, a portion of people that thought this would be something that would, you know, we just do what we're supposed to do, you know, time will pass, we can kind of get through it, and then, you know, the summer might take an L, but the fall, you know, it might go back up, but it'll get to the point where we straight. But to me, as I continue to watch it and just continue to see people stunt the process, now I'm starting to get more concerned, because it's like, we chalking up 2020, I've already said that, but like, if this trend and cycle continues, how much of 2021 is going to be fucked up? You see what I'm saying? Like, are we two quarters into 2021 before it's right again? You know, like, are we halfway through the next year?
Nicole said that we're locked in our own country. And I mean, that's a fact, because like, we can't even travel outside of here right now. And they're going to use that to their advantage, because they don't like us any damn way. So if they can use us not being on the same accord and trying to get together and come together and everybody just be cool for a minute, then this is an obvious reason for them not to let us come to their countries.
True.
Because we're so nonchalant about this shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I talked to a friend of mine, B. Holcomb, who was an IU alum, and when he saw the Big Ten cancel their season, essentially, I mean, they say they're going to push it to spring, but that's not going to work, because
Everybody and football at the same time.
Yeah, and unless everybody pushes it to spring, then it look. And what about the two sport athletes? And think about it like this: you can do a bubble for the NBA. You can't do a bubble for Division I basketball.
Nah.
And so, I honestly don't think we're going to have a Final Four next year either.
Me neither.
You know, this is
unless they're going to have a bubble with e-learning.
And you know what? Then it just says it really, it really accentuates the fact that these guys are that need to be paid. If you're going to have them in this kind of danger, you're going to put them in this type of environment and really not emphasize the fact that they are students, but they are bodies for you to make money off of for TV. Then look, it's going to raise a whole another kind of problems that the NCAA doesn't want to deal with. So I honestly think that we are not going to have a Final Four next year either.
I think the NBA was the most proactive in terms of figuring out a solution, setting up a plan, preparation, you know, having everything set up, and then actually implementing and executing it. Like, the numbers and what they're getting back down there are astounding to me, because I was like, man, there's no way it's not going to be, you know, you're not going to win because the playoffs haven't even started yet. But it's like, the way that they've done
they had kind of an advantage though with the NBA, because the NBA was already halfway through the season. So that they could pretty much take those numbers and say, okay, well, these teams are eliminated to cut down on how many teams are entering the bubble. So I mean, that's kind of how they were able to come to an agreement as far as doing it, I believe.
I guess my thing is I'm just giving them, to your point, like that helps it. My thing is I'm giving them peas on the execution part of actually implementing something and, you know, keeping the players that they do have in the bubble safe. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like it was well thought out so far. That's what I'm saying.
I got you.
But I think next year when if the league was to start back up based off, you know, we talked about this off air one time. I think it was Jay Moore, maybe Long. I think it would be a situation where they'd have do you guys think they could do multiple bubbles in the league? You got an East bubble and a West bubble. they're going to have to amongst those two. Like
they're going to have to.
You see what I'm saying? It's got to be multiple bubbles.
They start the season back over. They got to do it with every team. Like I said, there were several teams that weren't in the bubble. New York, Chicago. I don't know. Those are the big market teams that weren't in the bubble. But if they're going to try to restart the season. Yeah, Golden State, Minnesota, I believe. So if you're going to try to restart the season with every NBA team, you got to have an East and a West bubble, and you might have to do it in quarters. Like, okay, well, y'all got to come in now, because honestly, they're not going to be able to get people back in those stadiums if they say that they start the restart the next year's season in December or January.
Christmas. I heard Christmas is what I heard.
This isn't going to be going by Christmas.
Nope.
And these people have to, these players have to quarantine from their families. They can't even see their families.
That's the part.
Exactly.
That's the part. So they'd be in the bubble for who wants to be in the bubble away from their families for the duration of an NBA season?
Yeah, like, nobody wants that.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's pretty much like soldiers going to war. Well, not technically like soldiers going to war, but the element of being gone and you can't see your family is pretty much the same thing as when they have to go away on a tour.
Yep. I don't know, man. Let's see. I want to look into the chat before we get out of here. The flood said my place of employment isn't expecting staff to come back till May at the earliest. So, so that kind of speaks to what we were talking about, you know, how far you want to go into to next year. Nicole said it is mad disappointing.
I mean, even stuff that we've doing. I mean, we're planning. We had a meeting last week. We're planning for virtual shows for a long time. You know, we did the Zoom thing. We're now doing the broadcast thing, but we're talking about getting lighting and microphones and cameras for everybody. And you know what I mean? So recording audio remotely. And so it's like, it's just kind of the new way. Like we as people in general, you know, like we need to be able to adapt to this. And like getting upset that things aren't getting back to normal sooner is just not going to help anything. And pretending like it's going away isn't going to help anything either. Like it, you know. So I do like what the NBA has done. I understand some people really like concerts. You know, I really like a lot of things too, but probably isn't the best choice.
Going back to a big concert till 2022,
unless you live in the Ozarks. It's like
you need to get your VR headsets together and set up some tours that way, because
get your drive-in
game up.
Yeah, this is. No, and that's another thing. And then the flood has a question, and he said, "If there's a vaccine next year, how many of you guys are first in line to get it?" I'm not.
Shit,
not me. Mm-hmm. I'm not in first line for nothing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I'm cool on vaccinations.
I mean,
I want to see somebody get it and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you gonna give me a tax break or put some money in my pocket?
Yeah,
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I'm cool.
But you're gonna do it for me.
Look, hey,
it
depends how much it is.
Give it out. I want to see him give it out at if they give it out at the country clubs and tanning salons first, then maybe I'll go.
To the inner city.
Yeah, so we're not doing that.
They're going right to the inner city first, and they're gonna work their way out and see how many people have died from that shit before as they work their way out.
I feel like we're living in a long ass episode of Black Mirror.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of disappointed that Black Mirror decided to stop making new episodes because it started getting too real. I kind of wish they'd come back.
My man, DJ Nate Jeezy
said all the clubs are going out of business in DC. Damn.
Hey, man.
All of them. Think about that.
There's a lot that's going to go out of every city you're going to go to.
Yep.
Because there were clubs here that remodeled. They took the time when we were not in to remodel. So they're already deep into the money like that, and then when they shut down literally a week after, they're not opening back up.
Yeah, I saw the Jazz Kitchen working through. I drive past there every day. They seem like they're remodeling all the time, or at least of late.
Oh yeah, yeah. That place is going to be, if we can get back in there, it's going to be completely different.
That's another interesting topic.
They can operate because they're a music venue.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. They can't do live music. I mean, they could possibly get around it by operating as a club because they also serve food. Mm-hmm. But as far as having people on stage play music, they can't do that.
Okay.
But couldn't the Jazz Kitchen, based off the setup, couldn't the Jazz Kitchen social distance those tables?
Would that be
doable or no?
Yeah, I think they could.
They'd be losing more money opening.
They'd lose more money opening.
I don't know. It's complicated. You know, I talked to the owner of the Jazz Kitchen, you know, not too long ago. Well, actually, it was kind of long ago. Time is very relative now. But, you know, he wasn't even thinking about opening up until what's coming up, Labor Day. But now that doesn't even seem realistic.
Mm. Yeah.
Like Nate Jeezy said, even when this is over, he said DJs won't have anywhere to DJ because, you know, places are closing. He says it's going to be late 2021 at best before we can think about returning to a normal nightlife.
And we're
that does not sound far-fetched to me. My brother,
Shout out to Cool Hand Lex because he actually did something I was thinking. I was thinking about every DJ needs to learn how to farm. And then I seen him post a picture saying he's pretty much gearing up for his new thing, which is farming, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, that might be where it's at.
Hey.
I going to plant greens?
food?
Hey, greens, tomatoes. We in India. This is agriculture. Center.
I guess
it's all kind of shit out here.
Potatoes ain't gonna grow here, I'll take. No, I say this is a time. I briefly touched on it earlier, but this is a time right now where the truly innovative are going to succeed because of the country that we live in, and you know, it's one of the, it's like something's going to have to change, man. Like if you run stages, you're going to have to figure out how to do something different. And I don't necessarily mean like a different business. You're going to have to figure out a way to socially distance people at concerts or,
like hi-fi, you know, like they use an old container and made it into a stage, put it in the back of it.
Yep.
Which is innovative.
But it's going to have to be
but
like
they're losing
that.
Money doing that.
Yep. And the problem is, they're losing money. And
you said they
most likely. But the problem with that even still is that it doesn't, and this is something that's not even talked about as much, is like even though the stages are even struggling right now, like we're talking about business owners. We're not even talking about like the people that, like if the people that own the stages are struggling, it even makes people even more disenfranchised. And look, it's unfortunate, but people are going to have to figure some shit out or it's just going to be under. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just watching at this point.
The clip that stands out to me the most is the guy that was when they were looting in Minnesota. And there was a cop that was out there with the, you know, people just were running through there going crazy. And then a guy comes up like he was going to try to loot a spot and, you know, break a window or something. And the dude, this white guy that came out, he's just cursing at the top of his lungs, like, get away from my business. You don't know how long it took me to build that. And then he said, y'all have costed me $240,000. Like, when I heard him say that, just a small business guy on the street, I'm like, wow. Like, how do you get out of a deficit like that? Like $240,000, like in damages. That's crazy when you think about it.
But it's not even,
you know what I'm saying?
But let's think aside from that though. Like it aside from just physical damages, I assume he probably has insurance, but aside from that, like it's the damages of people not being like the fact that America is not taking this serious enough. We're realizing more so now than ever how selfish of a nation we really are, and because of such, we're seeing businesses fail. This is that the freedom. You know, it's like we used to say. We've said many times on the show, like in reference to racism, like you can say whatever you want, but there's repercussions to it, right? It's the same thing. You don't have to wear a mask if you don't want to, but there are repercussions to it. And those same people, we're seeing. We're seeing that right now, and it's affecting everybody. And you know, we live in a society, and there should be certain things that we abide by in a society that helps society. So it's like, it's just a catch-all, man. It's just a horrible place to be.
People don't care about each other. Nobody cares about no one but themselves. And I'm not saying that is for everybody, but at the vast majority of this country, that's what it seems like it is, man.
It's unfortunate.
Well, this is the thing that this is where we messed up in America, because it works in other countries, but we shouldn't have done it here. We shouldn't have made it about masks and social distancing is about protecting your fellow American. We should have just made it, look, if you want to be all right, make sure you social distance.
Right.
And you wear a mask. And look, if I was president of the United States, I'd have got on TV in March and was like, look, do y'all want college football and a full NFL season? Well, then we're going to have to shut this shit down for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Period. You're going to have to wear a mask and you're going to have to social distance. People would have got it then. But if you just make it about caring about your fellow man,
because they turned it into a partisan thing.
Yep.
I think that there was potential for the numbers to be lower.
They were getting.
I think the potential of people to what Jay. I agree with Jay Moore from a standpoint of him saying that to throw it out there. I do think there's the potential for some. A group of people to be like, you know what, that's a good point. Let me fall back. Now, does that mean that we would be significantly better now than if someone had said that? Who knows? But
I do. I honestly think that with better leadership in the White House, we would be. Think of New Zealand, man. Like they don't. If we had better leadership, we would definitely be in a better position right now. I absolutely believe.
That's fair.
Just.
I'm gonna close it out there because I know Jim Moore gotta feed them babies. Is there anything else that we forgot before we get out of here?
Nah, stick around for the post show.
All right, so that's gonna do it for this episode of the podcast. As always, we appreciate your support. Remember, search for Bringing Down the Band on YouTube. Subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, so you can stay in loop with us for everything that we drop. We appreciate you all. Right with us on the post show. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Right on.
In a minute.
All right, Jay, we'll get that bread now.